Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So this is the takeaway in Portland, Oregon, where we have so far not referenced at all the TV show Portlandia, mostly because we didn't want people here at Oregon Public Broadcasting to start throwing stuff at us. Indie TV shows, Arrested Development is one of those, canceled by a network, re-released on Netflix coming in May. Broadcast and downloads are converging. Google Fiber and its high-speed internet are the 21st century transmitters, maybe. You've got the HBO series Game of Thrones, which set an illegal download record with more than a million watchers pirating the season 3 premiere. That show is also the most illegally downloaded television program of 2012, according to the blog Torrent Freak. Is HBO okay with all of this? And you've got Arrow, Barry Diller's cut-rate TV subscription service, which captures broadcast signals over the airwaves and through this online stream provides television to its consumers. Arrow recently had a major victory when a U.S. appeals court rejected a requested injunction by the networks to stop Arrow. Technology and content changing the nature of broadcast and cable. Brian Stelter is a media reporter for our partner, The New York Times, joins us in the WNYC studios. Brian, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
You know, my favorite headline is now a couple weeks back. It's that Walking Dead beat the Bible on Easter Sunday and cable shows beat broadcast even during the NCAA championships. What's going on here?
Well, to put it very simply, the difference between broadcast and cable is disappearing maybe more rapidly than we would have guessed. For the most part, of course, cable shows are still much, much lower rated than broadcast shows. It helps to be on broadcast, but it helps less than it used to. And we see more and more cable shows now reaching the top of the charts because a lot of viewers, probably most viewers at this point, don't know or care the difference.
Is Arrow basically making the case that broadcast television, traditional broadcast television, is migrating to an on-demand kind of service?
It is. It is doing something that is sort of secretly revolutionary, I think, because it's taking signals from the airwaves, those free signals that NBC and ABC and Fox and CBS broadcast all across the country, and then it's repackaging them and selling them over wireless, over the internet, to paying customers. And it gives you a DVR, so it's easy to play back that content. It's really taking what's free, adding value to it, and charging for it. And the broadcasters are all trying to have it shut down because they say it's violating copyright.
And the whole issue of copyrights, what is intellectual property? What is a common carrier service? These are 20th century ideas completely disrupted by the technologies in this century.
That's right. There were no lawmakers or regulators who could have imagined this service existing when they were writing these laws and regulations. The notion of a public performance is even possibly changed by the existence of the internet. I think what's so disruptive possibly about this service is that even though almost nobody uses it right now and it's only available in New York and it doesn't even solve a problem that many customers have to begin with, what it does is it cuts the networks out of retransmission fees and they say they can't live without them. You know, of course, for decades they did, right? The public airwaves only had advertising revenue. They didn't have subscriber revenue. But now that the networks, these stations are used to getting paid by the Comcast and the Time Warner Cables of the world for the right to retransmit their signal, they're saying they can't go back to the days where they only had advertising revenue. And that's why they have to stop this service, because it possibly portends going back to those days.
With the streaming possibility, and you've got Google Fiber wiring cities, Kansas City and Austin, Texas, the notion of transmitting and broadcasting, even of cable wire delivery, means that everything becomes on demand. You don't need to have live broadcasting in the traditional sense unless you're doing a sports final or a huge news story, and that happens relatively infrequently.
It is infrequent. That's why these big sporting events are bigger than ever. It's why award shows are bigger, higher rated than they ever have been, at least in the last couple of decades. It's because live TV in those moments is really valuable. But you're right, the rest of the time, it is increasingly about on demand. The DVR was is just the first taste of that. Having video on demand through cable is in some ways a better experience. Having Netflix and Hulu and all these other services in some ways even better than that. I, for example, would have never watched Portlandia, to bring up the show at the intro there, if I hadn't seen it on demand. I would have never watched Arrested Development either, were it not for on demand. It's exposing people to new and different kinds of content, which is a great thing, but it does disrupt the existing business models.
You know, network executives back when I was at NBC and ABC used to talk about appointment television, and that a show that people, you know, went out of their way to watch is the high value, you know, 60 Minutes being appointment television, and something that's just sort of on when you have nothing to do, that's sort of a second tier. That's all going out the window because essentially everything is an appointment, but the user determines the time. And it just seems like the networks will do news. The sports leagues themselves will broadcast sports. And everything else is a kind of high-value HBO style of programming that's now migrating to Showtime and TLC and everything else.
I think one example of that trend or that phenomenon is look at local stations, local television stations across the country, ones that are typically the most popular in their local markets. They're adding more news. They're trying to double down on what they're known best for. And that is in part because they see the primetime shows they carry. Well, those are available elsewhere, and those are being watched on demand. But local news tends to be watched live. It maybe in this media age, you have to know what you're good at, just one thing that you're really, really good at. And for the sports leagues, it may be producing their own content about their teams. For local stations, it may just be more and more news, weather, traffic, sports. That's why being a broadcaster is so hard these days, because the word broad flies in the face of everything we're talking about.
Will the networks eventually be small-scale subsidiaries of some other kind of media company like Google?
Well, we have heard them this week for the first time threaten to go off the airwaves because of the threat that's presented by this idea of taking signals off the air, rebundling them, and then selling it to subscribers. They're saying maybe we'll have to go off the airwaves and just become a cable channel. Of course, for most people, CBS, ABC, Fox, NBC already are cable channels because they show up on the lineup right next to USA and FX and all of those. But we'll see them maybe drift more and more in that direction, even if they don't actually take their airwaves off, because I don't think they're going to actually take American Idol or Sunday Night Football off the public airwaves anytime soon. The mere fact that they're threatening to do that speaks to how much has changed.
And my kids, all five of them, are time shift natives. They have no concept of broadcasting or networks. You know, Brian Stelter, this is a pretty great time to be a media reporter for the New York Times, I'd say.
That's what I always tell my bosses. There are so many great stories right now. There's a revolution happening. And for the most part, it's actually good for the normal, ordinary viewer at home.
Brian Stelter, media reporter, very happily media reporter for our partner, the New York Times. Thanks, Brian.
Thanks.
You know, we've been talking a lot about innovation and technology this hour from Portland, Oregon. We always want to hear from you.
I'm calling from Saginaw, Texas. And in my town, we have four grain mills. And I think updating them and the trains that are constantly moving through for them to be the most cutting edge in efficiency and environmental impact would change our town incredibly.
Communities around the country reaching out to technological solutions to brand them, to change their identity. We've talked about how Portland has more bike paths and is more involved in bicycle commuting than any other city in the United States. What would make your town more cutting edge?
This is Alyssa Stoller from Brightwood, Oregon. My town is perfect the way it is. I'm happy and proud to live in a small community without much technology. That's the whole point.
Well, let's ditch Portland and go to Brightwood, for heaven's sakes. We came to the wrong town. You guys, what's going on? Thank you, Alyssa. Give us your take, your story at 877-8MYTAKE or send us a tweet at The Takeaway. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks to Oregon Public Broadcasting for hosting us. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.